All right, so get this right. Today we're diving into something a little different, a little dry, maybe school
Oh
finance.
yeah, buckle up.
We've got Chardon Local Schools September 2024 financials. Like all of them, it's a lot.
It's like, whoa, information overload, but in a good way.
Exactly. We're talking bank statements, budget summaries, the whole nine yards. We're going to figure out if they're, financially
It's like
frozen.
our own little financial puzzle.
Yeah, totally. So, first piece of the puzzle. Their bank reconciliation. As of September 30th, 2024, they've got a cash balance over $35.5 million. 35 million. Is that like normal for a school district?
Well, it's definitely a good sign. Think about it. Schools have tons of expenses, teachers, buildings, you name it. Having a good chunk of change means they're not constantly stressing about making ends meet. Now, is it normal? That's tricky. It all depends on the size of the district, how much they usually spend. But for Chardon, based on what we know, it's looking like they're managing their money pretty darn well.
Okay, so they're not exactly hurting for cash, and it's not like it's all just sitting in one giant piggy bank, right? Their reconciliation mentioned a Star Ohio account. What's that all about?
A good catch. Okay, so imagine this. You've got your checking account for everyday stuff, and then your savings account for, bigger goals. Schools are kind of the same way. They have different accounts for different purposes. Star Ohio is specifically for local governments and schools in Ohio. It's all about managing their cash flow, making smart investments. So the fact that Chardon has a good chunk of their money in that account, it tells me they're being strategic, thinking long term.
Smart. Okay, so now for the juicy stuff. Their monthly financial report for September. Revenue is down compared to last September, but get this, expenditures are up. What gives?
See, this is what I love, digging into the details. It's easy to see those numbers and freak out, but hold on. If we look closer, it's not as bad as it seems. The revenue dip is mostly because of a timing thing with their property taxes. Basically, the money came in a month earlier last year. Same money, just different timing.
Okay, so more of a paperwork hiccup than a five-alarm fire. But what about the spending increase? That still seems a little, I don't know.
I hear you, but there's a perfectly good explanation for that too. Remember those building projects we talked about earlier? Well, a big chunk of that spending increase went towards those projects, improvements, dues, fees, all that jazz. So it's not like they suddenly decided to start throwing money around. It's all part of the plan.
Right, those pesky little details. Context is everything. Okay, so zooming out a bit, the year-to-date trends. Total revenue through September 2025 is down 7.7% compared to last year. Now, that sounds a little more serious than a one-month blip. Should we be hitting the panic button?
I wouldn't say panic button just yet, but yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. But again, context is key. Part of that decrease, it's actually because of a change in how they're classifying some tax revenue. It's all related to that inside mill development, that revenue is going straight to their permanent improvement fund now. We'll get into that later. Oh, and they also had a little snag with a late utility payment from last year that kind of threw things off a bit.
So not exactly smooth sailing, but not a shipwreck either. What about their spending over the year? Anything surprising there?
Actually, this is where we see some good news. Their spending is actually lower than last year. And I'm not talking chump change here, over $1 million less. That's a 10.2% decrease. And you know what a big chunk of that is? Salaries and benefits. They're down.
Now, I do recall seeing something about an EPC buyout program. Could that be why their personnel costs are lower?
Bingo, you're sharp. They're in the second year of that program, and it looks like a pretty savvy move. Basically, they've offered certain employees, probably those closer to retirement, a little incentive to retire early. Helps them manage those staffing costs over time. It's a pretty common thing, actually. Lots of places do it, and it seems to be working out for them.
So they're playing the long game, thinking ahead, making those tough calls.
Exactly. And speaking of planning ahead, let's talk about their budget. Back in May of 2024, they made a forecast. And this is where we see those smart decisions paying off. Both their revenue and spending are looking pretty good, actually better than they predicted.
So not just keeping their heads above water, they're actually beating their own expectations. Tell me more.
Yeah, it's like their revenue is looking to be about $55,000 higher than they thought back then. And get this, their spending is coming in about $295,000 lower. It's like finding an extra 300 bucks in your winter coat.
Huh, that's gotta feel good. But what does it actually mean for the district? Like, can they throw a massive pizza party with that extra cash?
I mean, a pizza party is never a bad idea. But really, what this means is they've got options. They can tackle those unexpected costs, you know, things that pop up, or even invest in some new stuff that benefits the kids. Maybe some fancy new computers, extra training for teachers, who knows? It's all about having that flexibility. And that shows they're managing their money right.
That's awesome. Now, there's this section here called Days of Cash. Sounds a bit like an old Western, like, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. We only got 10 days of cash left.
I love it. But no need to worry. Chardon's not about to ride off into the sunset. Days of cash just means how long they could keep the lights on, you know, paying the bills if all of a sudden no more money came in.
So, like, if the school district was a ship, this tells us how much food and water they've got stored away, just in case?
Exactly. And Chardon, they've got a fully stocked galley, my friend. Their general fund, that's their main account for, like, everyday stuff, has enough to cover almost 165 days of expenses.
Whoa. That's like half a school year.
Right. And even after we factor in all the stuff they've already promised to spend, like contracts and whatnot, they've still got about 131 days of cash on hand. That's a pretty comfy cushion.
Definitely sounds like they're playing it smart. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
100%. And the best part, this isn't anything new for them.
Yeah.
If you look back at their, like, their history with those property taxes voters approve, what are they called?
Levies.
Yes. Levies, that's it. It's clear they're not relying on those every other year to keep afloat. It's all about thinking long term, stretching those dollars, and they've even managed to lower tax rates because, well, property values have gone up. It's a win-win.
No, that's impressive. Sounds like they're playing the long game, making sure things are good, not just for right now, but for years to come. And that's not just for the main pot of money, right? What about things like their food service fund? That's separate, yeah.
Absolutely. They've got that separate. And let me tell you, the cafeteria is not serving mystery meat. That fund is in great shape. They've actually got more money coming in than going out, and a nice healthy balance, too.
That's music to my ears and stomachs.
Yeah.
Now, how about those building projects we talked about earlier? That's all paid for through the Permanent Improvement Fund, if I'm remembering right.
You got it. That's the one. So that fund, it's all about those big upgrades, the renovations, new roofs, things like that. And it looks like they got a nice little boost back in August from, you know, those property taxes coming in.
And that money's getting good use. All those repair, security upgrades, even new lights. Got to keep those classrooms bright, right? It's good to see they're investing in making the schools better for everyone.
Couldn't agree more. And speaking of investments, we should probably touch on their self-insurance fund. Might sound a little confusing, but trust me, it's important.
Okay, so break it down for me. What is self-insurance and why should I care? Okay, so break it down for me. What is self-insurance and why should I care?
All right, so think of it this way. Instead of paying a big insurance company every month to cover, like, accidents or whatever, Chardon decided to basically become their own insurance company. They put money aside in this fund just in case something happens.
So it's like a rainy day fund for unexpected problems, but that seems kind of risky, doesn't it?
It definitely takes some guts, right? But the fact that they've got a good, solid amount saved up tells me they're doing it right. They're not just hoping for the best, they're prepared for the worst.
I like their style. It really seems like, from every angle, Chardon's in a good place financially, lots of cash on hand, budgeting like pros, and history of making smart choices.
They've definitely built a strong foundation, that's for sure. But, and this is a big but, the future is always a bit unpredictable, right? There's always something that could happen, something they can't control, that could throw a wrench in things.
Right. Life throws curveballs. So what kind of curveballs could mess with their finances down the line?
Well, a big one would be the economy taking a nosedive. Like, what if those property values we talked about suddenly tanked? That would mean way less tax money for the schools. Or the state government could cut funding to education. Those are the kinds of things that would keep a superintendent up at night.
Yikes. Sounds like some tough decisions would have to be made. Cutting back on programs, maybe staff, too. Not fun.
Not fun at all. And it's a tough balancing act, right? You've got to keep the schools running, but you also got to be smart about money. And you know what else could shake things up? Changes in laws or regulations. Those can really throw a wrench in things.
Oh, right. Like, if the state decides to change how much money they give each school district, or if they make a bunch of new rules, suddenly Chardon's got to go back to the drawing board with their budget.
Exactly. And then there's always the wild card. How many kids are actually enrolled? More kids means they need more of everything. Teachers, classrooms, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But fewer kids, well, that usually means less money from the state.
Sounds like they're walking a tightrope, trying to stay balanced while everything around them is shifting.
Perfect analogy. So yeah, even though Chardon's doing great right now, these reports are a good reminder that financial health is a journey, not a destination. You got to stay on top of it, be ready to adapt, and make tough choices sometimes.
It takes a village, right? School board, administrators, teachers, parents, even the students, everyone has a role to play in keeping the schools financially sound.
Totally. And for everyone listening, you know, stay informed, ask questions, get involved in those school board meetings. You can make a difference.
So much good stuff to think about today. For anyone who wants to really dig into the nitty-gritty of Chardon's finances, their website has all the reports available. It's all right there, which I gotta say is pretty awesome. Transparency is key.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, after all. The more we know, the better we can support our schools.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into the world of Chardon Local Schools finances. We covered a lot of ground today, folks from their impressive bank balance and budgeting skills to the challenges that might be lurking just around the corner.
We hope you found it interesting, maybe even a little empowering. Remember, the more we understand these things, the better we can advocate for our schools.
Well said. Until next time, stay curious and keep learning.